Rananeem, welcome to another episode of Cobb's Corner. Before I get into today's episode, just like to first start off by saying Happy Easter. Help me, I got the... All right. Jesus is King. Happy Easter, everyone. Big shout out to, again, New Vision International Ministries, Bridgeport, Connecticut. Rep the Gospel. Definitely support the Rep the Gospel brand. Rep the Gospel till all the world knows, folks. Happy Easter to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Ramadan Mubarak to my Muslim listeners. Yes, Ramadan Mubarak. Happy Ramadan. And happy early Passover to my Jewish listeners. So, yep, that's pretty much where we're at. I realize that in the Catholic tradition, the month of Lent, the 40-day fasting period from Ash Wednesday up through, I think it's up either up through Good Friday or up through Easter. Those 40 days. This year, it overlapped with the month of Ramadan for Muslims, where you will fast, where you won't eat while the sun is up. So, yeah. So, okay. Covered all the bases. On today's episode of Talk Time, we'll be discussing the passing of Louis Gossett Jr., along with Star Wars The Acolyte, Bad Boys Ride or Die, and Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So, thank you for tuning in, and don't go anywhere. So, first off, Louis Gossett Jr., not going to hold you, I had not heard of this man before a couple days ago. He died at the age of 87. Just looking at like the Google page, Louis Cameron Gossett Jr. was an American actor born in Coney Island, Brooklyn, New York City. He made his stage debut at age 17. Shortly thereafter, he successfully auditioned for the Broadway play Take a Giant Step. Louis Gossett Jr., he was the first Black man to win the Supporting Actor Oscar. So that's history right there. Okay, so that is a bit of, you know, Black history. Again, Black history, it is every month, every day is, you know, black history. He hasn't really been in anything that I've seen. I know, so he was in Iron Eagle, An Officer and a Gentleman, Enemy Mine, Roots, Iron Eagle 2, the most recent Color Purple remake, Jaws 3D, The Principal. So he's done a lot of like the Iron Eagle movies. He was in the 1989 Punisher. I think that's the one with John Travolta. Grace Card, Cover Up. Oh, Daddy's Little Girls. Okay. So he's been in a couple movies. Apparently he's in the upcoming movie If, with John Krasinski and directed by John Krasinski and starring Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. Apparently he's on the cast for that movie. So yeah, RIP to Louis Gossett Jr. I will definitely be covering some of his movies in the near future. Yep. So, I mean, that's it's a loss. It's a loss to Hollywood. You know, I mean, I was like just before the episode, I was thinking like a lot of our actors, particularly Black male actors, are dying. Our legends are dying. And Terry Crews, he brought this up on an episode of the Club Shay Shay podcast. Big shout out to Shannon Sharp. Big shout out to Club Shay Shay podcast. Terry Crews was on there, not the most recent episode, but I think like a couple episodes ago. And he said how a lot of the guys that he's worked with, a lot of the guys who kind of took him under his wing, many of them are no longer with us. Like we recently lost Carl Weathers, you know, RIP to Carl Weathers. Back in December, we lost Andre Brower. Andre Brower, who was like a veteran of Hollywood, who Terry Crews worked with on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You know, Andre Brower, he was in his 60s. He was young. He was like 60, 61 years old. So, You know, RIP to Andre Brower. I think a lot of us are still shocked about the passing of Lance Reddick. I mean, Lance Reddick, I know him from the John Wick franchise, but I know he also had the role on The Wire. So I feel like many of us are just, and the fact that he died at the young age of 60, like our actors are dying young, guys. They are dying young. Tomorrow's not promised. I feel like I've talked about it on this podcast before. Tomorrow's not promised, guys. Tomorrow is not promised. We need to give our heroes, give our actors their flowers while they are here. While they're here, all right? And I mean this both like on a macro scale. I think everybody, you know, deserves their props while they're here, whether that's, you know, Spike Lee or Denzel Washington, you know, all of our, we need to celebrate our heroes, particularly in the Black community, particularly our Black heroes, our Black actors, producers, directors, writers, while they're here, you know, celebrate them while they're here. Because even Chadwick Boseman, he was like in his early 40s. And he died of colon cancer. So give them their flowers. Give them their accolades while they are here. Because you just never know. Michael Clark Duncan, you know, I know him from, he was in Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. He was also in Armageddon. But I think probably one of his breakout roles, and, you know, again, this is probably like the magical Negro role that, you know, Spike Lee talked about. His role in The Green Mile, which is a movie I will hopefully cover in a future episode. He died at the young age of 54. I think he died of a heart attack. So I'm not gonna, you know, go down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole or anything, but, you know, it seems like our Black actors are dying. Our legends are dying, and they're dying younger than ever. So, they're dying, or we got actors contracting dementia at younger ages now. You know, pray for Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson, he's in his 80s. Actually, I will be reviewing Chinatown in a future episode, so stay tuned for that with the AFI series. And also, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I'll be reviewing both of those movies in a future episode. So pray for Jack Nicholson. You know, he's 86 years old. He is kind of taking a step back from acting because he was having a hard time memorizing his lines. He's dealing with like Alzheimer's disease now. Bruce Willis, pray for Bruce Willis as well. He's, I think, like 68, 69. He was in the hospital last year. He's got like prefrontal dementia and he's pushing 70. You know, he's still in his 60s and he's got dementia. Wendy Williams. All right. She is almost 60. All right. She's 59 years old and she's got something similar to what Bruce Willis has. So take care of your health, guys. I mean, I realize I have the advantage of only being 23 years old when all this is happening. I'm seeing, you know, all these older actors pass away and I'm seeing all these celebrities have all kinds of health problems. I realize that I have the advantage of still being young, of being under the age of 30, under the age of 25. But I say this to all my listeners, regardless of how old you are, eat right, exercise. All right. I get it that my podcast is not really like a diet and exercise podcast. I don't really talk about nutrition. And yes, I do talk about movies, but the primary focus of this podcast is like, how can we extract these films and look at entertainment, look at pop culture. What can we bring into our own lives? You know, what can we accept what's useful, reject what's useless, and add what's uniquely your own? It's a little Bruce Lee philosophy for you this early in the morning. but yeah, RIP to Louis Gossett Jr. You know, on behalf of the Cobb's Corner family, our thoughts and prayers are with the Gossett family. You know, Gossett family, the Weathers family, Lance Reddick's family, Andre Brower, you know, RIP to anyone and everyone that we've lost so far this year. You know, we're going into April now. We're a quarter of the way through 2024. Those that we lost 2023 over the past year, any celebrities that we've lost over the past year, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with them and their families, etc. So just had to spend the first 10 minutes of this live stream on, you know, a real kind of a serious note, you know, before we really get into the fun, you know, the nerd culture and the pop culture and entertainment, you know. So that's that. Since we last spoke, Star Wars has dropped a trailer for The Acolyte. All right. The Acolyte will be premiering June 4th. June the 4th. So I got something to look forward to when I go back to the States. If I got something to look forward to this summer, I'm just reading the IMDb page. Star Wars The Acolyte is a Star Wars series that takes viewers into a galaxy of shadowy secrets and emerging dark side powers in the final days of the High Republic era. The cast for this series, we've got Amanda Stenberg. We've got Daphne Keene, Jodie Turner Smith, Amy Zhang, Margarita LaViva, Dean Charles Chapman, Carrie Ann Moss, who I know as Carrie Ann Moss. You've seen her in the Matrix franchise. Carrie Ann Moss, she was in the Matrix. She was also, I think, one of the lawyers on Jessica Jones. So it's got some familiar faces, some new faces. I think this is an era of Star Wars that doesn't get a whole lot of attention. And I think this, because of the High Republic era, I think this movie takes place, I forget exactly how many years, like in the official canon, but the High Republic era is like pre-Phantom Menace. It's like when the Jedi were at the height of their power and they essentially didn't see the growing threat of the dark side. Like they were the High Republic. And, you know, I've never played Knights of the Old Republic, but there was like the High Republic, the Old Republic, and then eventually the Galactic Republic. And then that's where like Phantom Menace kind of picks up. So I'm liking that we're exploring different eras of Star Wars, and we're going places through these series that maybe the movies couldn't go. Like I think that with these mini series, these limited series, you can go places that they weren't able to go with a 2-hour movie. You know, so I've said it before and I'll say it again. I liked the Book of Boba Fett. I liked the Book of Boba Fett, and I liked the way that they set it up at the end of season 2 of The Mandalorian was a teaser for the Book of Boba Fett. Temuera Morrison, Ming-Na Wen, they were amazing in those roles. Book of Boba Fett, Mandalorian, Obi-Wan Kenobi as well. I really enjoyed the Ahsoka series, but I'm glad that with The Acolyte, like, I don't think we've really seen that much, like maybe in an episode of like Clone Wars, maybe in like flashback sequences. And I'm not 100% up to date on like Star Wars animation. Like I know there was the Bad Batch. It's like there's a couple seasons of the Bad Batch now, and like I remember Star Wars Rebels, Clone Wars, and you know that's all on Disney Plus. But as far as like Star Wars live action, we haven't really gotten a window into this time period pre Phantom Menace. So I'm interested to see where they go. I'm interested to see what kind of themes they're able to bring into this new show, like probably themes of like power, corruption. I mean, just taking a look at the trailer, I mean, you know, and the show is created by Leslie Headland. She's a writer, director, and producer. She's known for being a producer on the 2012 film Bachelorette. She was a producer. She was a showrunner for the show Russian Doll. She was a writer on the 2014 comedy About Last Night. And she was a producer on the 2015 film Sleeping with Other People. Okay, so she's got some accolades to her name. Leslyn Headland. Amanda Stenberg. I'm going to briefly go through like the I'm gonna briefly go through like the main cast, and then we can move on to the next topic. Mandel Stenberg. Mandela Stenberg, she was Rue. She was Rue in the Hunger Games. I guess that was my introduction to her. She was Rue in the Hunger Games. She was also Star Carter in The Hate U Give. Definitely check out The Hate U Give for those of you who have not yet watched that movie. So relevant of a movie, you know, with her, and I think KJ Apa was in that movie as well. She was Maddie in the movie the 2017 movie Everything. She played Sophie in Bodies. So she's an up and coming actress. She was the voice of Spider Bite in Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Check out the Spider Within, like whatever the new short film that came out from Sony. Definitely check that out, guys. Check that out. It's amazing. Daphne Keene. Let's see. Daphne Keene, actress. She's known for... Oh, she played Laura in Logan. And she's on the show His Dark Materials. She played Lyra. Lyra. She played Lyra Silvertongue, Lyra Balequa. On His Dark Materials, which I think that show is on Max. And that's actually a show I've been meaning to watch. But Laura on Logan. X-23, right. She played X-23 on the show Logan. Lastly, Jodie Turner Smith, actress and producer. She was Queen on Queen in the movie Queen and Slim. Queen and Slim, great movie. It was her alongside Daniel Kaluuya. She was Kyra in After Yang and Anne Boleyn, Boleyn in the television miniseries of the same name. She was Sergeant Azima Candy in the Last Ship series from 2017. She was in Murder Mystery 2, Sex Education, The Independent, White Noise. So she's got some accolades to her name as well. I will for sure be checking out The Acolyte when it hits Disney Plus on June the 4th. And I think it's supposed to be like a new episode every week, which I personally prefer that. I prefer the whole new episodes weekly. Like I don't really like the whole series dropping at once. Give me the new episodes weekly so I can watch one episode and then I can actually like talk about it. And then Once the season's over, then I can go back and like watch all the episodes one after the other nonstop. So check out The Acolyte. Check out the trailer for The Acolyte if you haven't already. I might put a link in the description. Check out The Acolyte trailer if you haven't already, and be looking for the Acolyte on June the 4th. June the 4th, that is a Tuesday. It's a Tuesday. Look for The Acolyte on Disney Plus, June 4th, 2024. Since we last spoke, the trailer for Bad Boys Ride or Die has also dropped. here at Xavier High School, we're currently on a 5-day week. Five-day break. We have a 5-day weekend for Easter. So over the past couple of days, I was watching Bad Boys 1, 2, and 3 because I had never seen Bad Boys for Life. So, you know, the first Bad Boys, which came out in 1995. It has a 43% on Rotten Tomatoes, 43% tomato meter score, and a 78% audience score. I maybe give it a 60%. I'm in the middle. Yes, it's kind of a typical 90s movie. Like it's a typical like 90s buddy cop movie. Also Michael Bay movie, so of course there's explosions all over the place. And critics consensus, Bad Boys stars Will Smith and Martin Lawrence have enjoyable chemistry. Unfortunately, director Michael Bay too often drowns it out with set pieces and explosions in place of an actual story. This is very true. This is very, very true. As of now, you can watch the first Bad Boys with a subscription to Hulu or Apple TV Plus. I was able to watch it via NordVPN. I realize it's also streaming on Netflix United Kingdom. So shout out to my listeners in the United Kingdom. If you live across the pond, it is available on Netflix for you guys in the UK. But for everybody else outside the UK, or well, I guess for those of you in the United States, you can watch Bad Boys on Hulu or with Apple TV Plus. Yeah, I think the first Bad Boys, it's a fun movie, I guess, but I do think that, yeah, the dialogue and the pacing, like the script and the pacing were a bit off at times, a bit hard to follow. Yeah, the story is a bit hard to follow at times for the first one. And like I said, it is like a typical 90s movie. I mean, the movie did come out in 1995, and it's also directed by Michael Bay. So it's a 90s action film. It's a 90s action film. Same thing could be said about Point Break. You know, 90s action film. So it's a typical 90s action film, but then there's not a whole lot of like story. There's not a whole lot of like substance. Like actual character development, actual story, actual plot ends up taking the backseat to this spectacle of explosions and, you know, it's like, oh, there's like, you know, drug dealers and explosions and killing and yeah. So, and then comic relief. And so yeah, like the whole, that aspect of things kind of, we'll take the backseat. You know, it's usually like, that's like what's at the forefront of most Michael Bay movies is the explosions, is the CGI, Yeah, I mean, and I feel like that's just maybe that's just Michael Bay as a director. That maybe that's nothing against like this movie particularly, because I recognize that Bad Boys the movie is not Michael Bay the director specifically, but Michael Bay, who I'm not particularly a fan of his films, especially with everything he's done with the Transformers franchise, I just kind of threw in the towel 10 years ago with Age of Extinction, but I do think that Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, you know, they're great actors in their own right. And yeah, I'm with the critics that yes, it did have, like, yes, the two of them, they do have some pretty good moments on camera. They do have some pretty nice chemistry that the two of them, you know, it's a buddy cop film. So yeah, the two of them, you know, Martin Lawrence, him playing the family man, you know, who's got people to look after. He's the more like level-headed guy. And then there's Mike Lowry, Will Smith's character, who's the playboy, the bachelor, who's a bit more erratic. And so I do like the way that they played off each other. I think that's one of that's like the redeeming quality of the first Bad Boys film, was just it's like, okay, we get some nice moments with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence in spite of the kind of half-done plot and the almost predictable third act, predictable ending, you know, almost paint by numbers, sort of. But yeah, check out the first Bad Boys movie if you haven't already. 8 years later, in 2003, we got Bad Boys 2. Oh, man, the critics, again, the audience score is 78%. But the critics, trashed this movie. All right? 23% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it has like the shortest critics consensus. 2.5 hours of explosions and witless banter. Watch Bad Boys 2 with a subscription on Hulu. And you can rent it or buy it on Vudu, Apple TV, or Prime Video. Yeah, this movie, I don't know. I kind of thought that Bad Boys 2 was a bit better. I thought it was like a little bit better than the first Bad Boys. I mean, it does cross the 2-hour mark. It's like a half an hour longer. Like the first Bad Boys is an hour and 58 minutes. Bad Boys 2 is 2 hours, 26 minutes. I thought, again, Martin Lawrence and Will Smith, they are the driving force of that movie, and just their on-screen chemistry, their comedic timing, and then, you know, not to give away too much, but there's that one crucial moment at the end of the second act where, you know, the bad guys have now made it personal for Martin Lawrence's character, and just that scene where, like, the two of them, they are just sitting in, like, the conference room, and just Will Smith's delivery of, like, you know, we ride together, we die together, bad boys for life. Yeah, ride together, we die together, you know, bad boys for life, that sort of thing. Again, you know, I think that, you know, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence were the best part of that film. But yes, again, it's a Michael Bay film, so of course a ton of explosions, a ton of stunts, and just a lot of spectacle that overshadowed the plot of the movie itself. You know, it overshadowed like the substance of the movie itself. And yes, Michael Bay has a tendency to do that, hence why a lot of his movies just get dragged through the mud by critics. And yeah, so check out Bad Boys 2. Let me know what you guys think. I think it's an okay film. I think 1 and 2, I think they're both fun movies. They're not as bad as critics say that they are, in my opinion. But Bad Boys for Life. Bad Boys for Life. Bad Boys for Life was not directed by Michael Bay. The Bad Boys for Life, it was not directed by Michael Bay. Bad Boys for Life is also streaming on Netflix United Kingdom. 76%. It's certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. It's the only Bad Boys movie that is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. It came out January 17th, 2020. 76% on Rotten Tomatoes. The tomato meter score, 96% audience score. I probably would have given it a 90%. 85, maybe 85%. Yeah, 85%. Yeah, you know. Critics consensus, loaded up with action and a double helping of leading man charisma. Bad Boys for Life reinvigorates the long dormant franchise by playing squarely to its strengths. I couldn't have said it better myself. We get some really like heartfelt and like emotional moments, while also giving us that same action, that same like buddy cop magic from the first two movies. I think maybe getting Michael Bay out of the director's chair and then instead going with directors Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fallah, and Will Smith actually being a producer on the film alongside Doug Belgrad and Jerry Bruckheimer, who were the producer duo that worked on Bad Boys 1 and 2. So they came back as producers on Bad Boys for Life. I think that, I think the movie was better because it didn't have Michael Bay as a director. And Will Smith and Martin Lawrence really got to shine. They really got to show the range that they have as actors. And, you know, I will say that Will Smith probably, again, it's just my opinion, he's one of the greatest actors of the 21st century. Greatest actors of the last 25 years. All right, his range, the roles that he's done, for him to go from like playing Muhammad Ali to Men in Black, to playing Agent J, to playing Mike Lowry, to doing Hitch, Concussion. Like, he's I Am Legend, 7 Pounds. Like, he's got so much range. He's got so much talent as an actor. And I had my doubts about Bad Boys for Life, given what happened with Men in Black 3. Now, Men in Black, the first Men in Black came out in 1997. It's still my favorite. Still my favorite Men in Black. The comedy worked, the story worked, everything just worked in that movie. The sequel, Men in Black 2, came out 5 years later in 2002. It was okay. You know, we got a nice celebrity cameo from Michael Jackson. Rosario Dawson was in that movie. I remember, I think I've only seen it one time. I saw it one time in preparation for Men in Black 3. I saw Men in Black 1 and 2 in preparation for Men in Black 3. Rip Torn was in Men in Black 2. Rip Torn, you know, RIP. Men in Black 3, I don't think Rip Torn was in that one. I forget exactly what year Rip Torn passed away, but Men in Black 3 is like, okay, Will Smith's older. It's been 10 years since Men in Black 2, because it was 2012. It's been 10 years since Men in Black 2. We're kind of replacing Tommy Lee Jones with Josh Brolin, who's also a great actor in his own right. I just couldn't take him seriously in that role. Time travel shenanigans, Will Smith's in his 40s. Everybody's older now. And I feel like they were trying to recycle those same jokes, the same humor that worked in Men in Black 1 and 2, and bring it into Men in Black 3. And it just didn't work. I kept falling. I remember I saw it in theaters. I kept on falling asleep and waking up and I kept on falling asleep and waking up, And it just didn't work for me anyway. You know, in my opinion, Men in Black 3 is the worst. My ranking would be Men in Black, Men in Black 2, Men in Black 3. Like, each sequel was worse than the one that came before it. And after Men in Black 3, it's one of those movies in the franchise. I'm thinking, please just let this be the last one. Let's just end the franchise here. Just make it a trilogy. All right. You know, you wanted to do a third one. Okay. Yeah, we did the third one. Let's just end it here. Please, we could just end it here. Of course, they didn't. They did Men in Black International. When I saw the trailer for that movie, I'm like, I'm not seeing this in theaters. I still haven't watched it. I still have not watched Men in Black International. With freaking Thor and Valkyrie, all right? I made a conscious effort not to see that movie in theaters. I said, I will not support this movie at the box office. I might check it out. I might check it out at some point, and just to let you guys know what I thought. But yeah, that movie was just... So yeah, given Men in Black 3, I guess I had maybe a bit of a preconceived notion about, like, when you try to bring back a franchise 10 plus years later. In the case of the Bad Boys franchise, they're doing a sequel 17 years later. So almost 2 decades have passed. So Martin Lawrence and Will Smith are both at that point. Well, even now, they're both well into their 50s now. They're both well into their 50s. They're family men. Times have changed a bit since 2003. So a lot of the same jokes that worked 2 decades ago aren't going to work today. Generally speaking, you try to bring back a franchise after 10 plus years, it doesn't work. Bad Boys for Life is the exception. Yep, Bad Boys for Life is the exception. I agree with the critics. You know, like, sure, the critics will give it 76%, audience score 96%. I maybe give the movie a 90%. I know I said like 85% earlier, but nope. I'd give it a solid 90. Solid 90, which is like an A-. So, I mean, also the movie, I get that it didn't really last that long in theaters because it did come out right before COVID. It came out January 17th, 2020. I remember it was like one of my most anticipated movies for 2020. Came out, that's actually the day after my birthday. My birthday is January 16th. So January 16th, 2020, I turned 19 years old. And then this movie came out the next day. I did not see it in theaters. Came out right before COVID. Last movie I saw before COVID was Rise of Skywalker at a movie theater that is no longer open. Shout out to the Brass Mall in Waterbury, Connecticut. Regal Cinemas, RIP. You know, the movie theater at that mall, unfortunately, did not survive COVID. But yeah, you know, getting this movie you know, they brought in Vanessa Hudgens, Jacob Spicio, Alexander Ludwig. So they brought in some new blood, as well as bringing back the old blood. The movie's longer than the first one, but shorter than the second one. Its runtime is 2 hours, 4 minutes, just over 2 hours. You know, box office made $204.3 million. It was released on streaming services March 31st. So, again, the movie had hit theaters. And then, like, 2 months later, we all know what happened, March 2020. I'm not gonna waste time going into excessive detail on that. And I know we all have our own, like, personal testimonies about that time period. But yeah, you know, that's Bad Boys for Life. I highly recommend, if you guys haven't checked this one out, go check it out. Go check out Bad Boys for Life. It is, in the United States, it is only available for rent or purchase on Vudu, Prime Video, or Apple TV. For my listeners across the pond in the United Kingdom, it is available on Netflix. Those of you with Surfshark VPN, NordVPN, you can switch your location to the United Kingdom and you'll be able to watch it. The trailer dropped for Bad Boys Ride or Die. I think I had posted it on my Instagram story. The trailer for Bad Boys Ride or Die had dropped. You know, in the 4 years since Bad Boys for Life, Will Smith did commit an act of violence on national television. The slap heard around the world. All right. And, you know, I've been able to, over the past 2 years, I've continued to watch his movies. I mean, I literally just watched Bad Boys 1, 2, and 3. And I still think he's a talented actor. You know, it's recent personal controversy aside, all right, Will Smith is one of the most talented actors alive today. He's one of the most talented actors, one of the most giving, my opinion. Well, okay. I don't know if I'd say he's one of the nicest celebrities, but, you know, he's one of the most talented guys in Hollywood. And, you know, again, given his age, given the fact that he was, like, I think maybe like 51 when Bad Boys for Life came out, I have my doubts just given his age. And even now that he's, like, older, you know, controversy aside, I have my doubts about Bad Boys for Life. Like, is it going to be the same? Everybody's older now. But no, Bad Boys for Life blew us all away. And Bad Boys Ride or Die, you know, it's like we're coming back for a fourth movie. I don't know. Will this be the last Bad Boys? Is there going to be like a passing of the torch to, like, the next generation? Like, is this a stepping off point to something greater? You know, I wish Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, I wish them nothing but the best for them and for their families. They're doing well for themselves. And I truly believe, again, you know, the Christian in me, you see the shirt I'm wearing, you know, Jesus is King. It's never too late to have your come to Jesus moment. It's never too late to pray for forgiveness, to ask for forgiveness, not just from those who you've, from those who you've wronged, but also to make your peace with the Creator. All right. Nobody's beyond forgiveness. Nobody's beyond saving. And nobody's life is perfect. You know, clearly something was going on, you know, in Will Smith's life personally and in his marriage that pushed him that then for Chris Rock to make that joke, which was his right to, it was his right to make that joke, you know, push Will Smith over the edge and cause him to walk up and slap him. You know, but is what it is. And I, for one, you know, it's been 2 years. And because I loved Men in Black, because I love Bad Boys for Life, I was excited when this trailer dropped for Bad Boys Ride or Die. You know, Bad Boys Ride or Die, I'm just reading like the IMDb description. This summer, the world's favorite bad boys are back with their iconic mix of edge-of-your-seat action and outrageous comedy, but this time with a twist. Miami's finest are now on the run. All right, so As of now, you know, top cast, Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, Vanessa Hudgens. The movie will hit theaters on June 7th. June 7th. So I'm definitely looking forward to this movie. You know, like I said, the Bad Boys, as of now, Bad Boys trilogy. It's a trilogy as of now. You know, Bad Boys, Bad Boys 2, and then Bad Boys for Life. You know, all three of those movies are great. Okay. Not all three of them are great, but yeah, no, these are good. These are good films. I enjoyed all three of them. Columbia Pictures is celebrating 100 years. 100 years. Okay, Columbia Pictures. Big shout out to Columbia Pictures. You know, centennial year 2024. It comes out June 7th, 2024 worldwide. You know, we got Vanessa Hudgens. You know, Vanessa Hudgens, Eric Dane, Alexander Ludwig, Paola Nunez reprising her role. So we got Jerry Bruckheimer and Doug Belgrad as producers alongside Will Smith and Chad Omen. Written by Chris Bremner, directed by Adil L. Arbi and Bilal Fala. So I think that this is definitely going to be a success. Now, granted, I think there are maybe some, you know, toxic fans out there who, given Will Smith's, you know, slapping Chris Rock, and now there's probably some folks who are going to boycott this film, who are not going to see it. And, you know, I'm not a part of that camp. And I've always said how these celebrities, it don't matter what, you know, you want, if you want to complain on social media about, you know, so-and-so celebrity because, you know, they did this or they said this, they said that, you know, so we need to cancel them or boycott them. They don't care. They're still making money. They're still getting paid. Somebody's going to see their movie. So I'm going to continue to support Will Smith. And, you know, I think the main argument against sort of like separating the artist from their art, which I believe it is possible to separate the artist from their art, the main argument is that, oh, well, you're still supporting them. Yeah, I'm still supporting them because I believe, in the case of Will Smith, that he can bounce back. He can bounce back. He can, you know, confess his sins, ask for forgiveness, and move on. Forgive and forget. You know, can't live in the past, folks. Cannot live in the past. So I am recommending that you all go check out Bad Boys Ride or Die. Check out Bad Boys 1, 2, and Bad Boys for Life. Check out all three of them. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. I actually want to hear from you guys. Like, are you guys going to go see Bad Boys Ride or Die? Yes or no? The conversation continues in the comments and on social media. So with the time we have left, I'm going to talk briefly about the Ghostbusters franchise. Now, the Ghostbusters franchise, it's funny, Ghostbusters actually turns 40 this year. The first Ghostbusters came out in 1984. It has a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes, 95% tomato meter score, 88% audience score. It's a sci-fi comedy fantasy film. The critics' consensus, an infectiously fun blend of special effects and comedy with Bill Murray's hilarious deadpan performance leading a cast of great comic turns. You can watch this movie on Hulu. You can also rent it or purchase it on Vudu, Apple TV, or Prime Video. Now, this movie's before my time, and it was produced and directed by Ivan Reitman. And, you know, written by Dan Aykroyd, along with the late Harold Ramis. Again, Columbia Pictures, celebrating 100 years. And yeah, I mean, the movie, the first one is a classic. You know, first one's a classic. They do misquote the Bible. They say Revelation 7:12 and talking about the end times and the judgment day. So some biblical parallels to the movie. But overall, I think it's just a solid comedy film. A timeless classic. All right. Check out. I think it. Okay. So it hit theaters. Its release date, June 8th, 1984. So June 8th of this year, the movie turns 40. Yeah. And then I guess there was a re-release in 2014 for the 30th anniversary, but the movie turns 40 this year. So I don't know if it's going to be back in theaters for like one night only or two nights only, but definitely go and check out Ghostbusters if you have not already. It is a classic. Ghostbusters 2 came out in 1989. Okay, this one, I'm kind of with the critics on this one. The critics gave it 55% on Rotten Tomatoes. The audience score is 61%, so it's not certified fresh. The critics' consensus, thanks to the cast, Ghostbusters 2 is reasonably amusing, but it lacks the charm, wit, and energy of its predecessor. I agree. It's that common trope of like the sequel is never quite as good as the original. Again, Ghostbusters 2, you can watch it on Hulu, you can rent it or buy it on Apple TV, which is what I did, Prime Video or Vudu. Yeah, that one, you know, it's nobody's fault, but it's just one of those sequels that's just not as good as the original. I mean, the original is just such a classic, some of Bill Murray's finest work. You know, when when I think of Bill Murray, I think of Ghostbusters and Groundhog Day are probably two of his best movies. And he actually worked with Harold Ramis was actually working behind the scenes on both those films. Harold Ramis, he directed Groundhog Day. So check out my episode that I did on Groundhog Day. I'll probably link to it in the description below, or I'll probably like have a pop up at the end of this video or whatever. So check out my review of Groundhog Day, and then also the first Ghostbusters. So Ghostbusters 2, it's like, okay, so we got the same cast member, so it's not total garbage, but but yeah, it's just one of those things where like the sequel's not all that great. It doesn't have the same humor. And sure, like the original cast, they come back and you can tell they're trying, you know. It's like, you know, this movie, I guess it takes place 5 years after the first Ghostbusters, and it also came out 5 years after the first Ghostbusters. First Ghostbusters was 1984. Ghostbusters 2 was 1989. So this is, 35 years ago? Yeah, 35 years ago, math. You know, Rick Moranis, who I think took a break from acting for a while and recently came back like a few years ago. So check out Ghostbusters 2. Not as good as Ghostbusters 1. Ghostbusters remake. Yikes. Surprisingly has 74% on Rotten Tomatoes. Why? 49% audience score. I'm with the audience on this one. Ghostbusters, now I'm personally not the biggest fan of remakes. I think not everything's got to be redone and reinvented every 10 years. But, you know, Ghostbusters with the women, you know, Ghostbusters, now, critics' consensus. Ghostbusters does an impressive job of standing on its own as a freewheeling, marvelously cast supernatural comedy, even if it can't help but pale somewhat in comparison with the classic original. Okay, yes, it does pale in comparison to the original, but I don't know. I just think that movie, like the villain was like half done. It's just one of those like quick cash grabs for Hollywood. And, you know, Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Leslie Jones, and Kate McKinnon. So a bunch of women from Saturday Night Live. And I don't know. Like, it's just one of those movies that I feel like we would have been fine without. And they tried to, they made Chris Hemsworth this like bimbo, this like really buff guy who's also really like just dumb. And dare I say that was Chris Hemsworth's worst movie, his worst role. I don't know. I just feel like they were like recycling like the same tropes from the first movie. And we have cameos from the original cast members. I don't know. It's just one of those movies where like you just watch it start to finish. I'm like, what did I just watch? It's like, why does this movie exist? Huh? And sure, you know, like diversity and like It's like, sure, let's have like an all female led Ghostbusters movie. You know, produced by Ivan Reitman, who directed and produced the original two Ghostbusters. Directed by Paul Feig, also produced by Amy Pascal. I think Pascal Pictures, I think they've worked on a bunch of the Spider-Man movies. So yeah, I mean, it had a promising cast. You know, Kristen Wiig, Leslie Jones, Kate McKinnon, Melissa McCarthy, all very talented women in their own right. Charles Dance, Michael Kenneth Williams, rest in peace. And yeah, like it just had a lot of like recycled jokes. I think that the script, the pacing, the story, it just didn't work. I think the actors themselves were not the problem with the movie. It's the lines that they were given. It's the story that just didn't work out. You know, just one of those movies that just didn't work out and probably didn't need to be made to begin with. So, I mean, my advice, you can check this movie out if you would like. It's not streaming anywhere. I mean, you have to rent it on Vudu, Prime Video, or Apple TV. You know, rent it or buy it. Cannot remember. It might be streaming on like Netflix Canada or Netflix. Maybe Netflix Canada. I'm not sure. But yeah, that was 2016. That was 8 years ago. It's crazy. 2016 was 8 years ago. Let that sink in. Yep, July 15th. And then 2021, during COVID, we got Ghostbusters Afterlife. I saw this movie in theaters. This is the first Ghostbusters movie I saw in theaters. And to this day, it's the only one that I've seen in theaters. Ghostbusters Afterlife came out 2021. It's got a 64% tomato meter score, so it's not certified fresh. 94% audience score, though. Critics' consensus. Ghostbusters Afterlife crosses the streams between franchise revival and exercise in nostalgia. And this time around, the bustin' mostly feels good. Okay. The audience says, a great cast, a fast-paced story, and tons of callbacks to the original movies, making Ghostbusters Afterlife fun for fans of the franchise. Okay. So I'm kind of with the audience on this one. I think this one is on Netflix Canada, but for those of you in the United States, you can rent Ghostbusters Afterlife on rent or buy on Vudu, Prime Video, or Apple TV. It had a solid cast, you know, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace, Paul Rudd, Celeste O'Connor, and of course the original cast. We got Bill Murray, Ernie Hudson, Dan Aykroyd, and of course, at this point, now in 2014, Harold Ramis did pass away, unfortunately. He passed away at the young age of 69, I think. Yep, he was 69 years old, so he unfortunately passed away. And with this movie, they were able to pay homage to him without like... Now, they did have, I think, like a CGI stand-in for Harold. And I like how, with this movie, they show Egon as he sort of had like a falling out with the Ghostbusters. And he like left New York and moved out to Oklahoma. And Carrie Coon actually plays Egon's daughter, who she kind of claims that he was like a deadbeat father who abandoned his family. And then Finn Wolfhard and McKenna Grace, they play Egon's grandchildren. Carrie Coon's character, whose name is Callie, you know, Callie's kids, so Egon's grandkids. So it's like a passing of the baton, and Egon became this kind of like strange character in the town, the dirt farmer, they called him. So I liked how they were able to have like callbacks to the original while also paving the way for like the new generation of Ghostbusters. And it was that perfect mix of nostalgia nostalgia for like the old franchise while also paving the way for like the new generation of Ghostbusters. So overall, I liked it. The movie, it grossed about $128.8 million at the box office. So yeah, you know, I think that you should definitely check this one out. Wherever you're listening from, definitely check out Ghostbusters Afterlife. It's a good movie. I won't say it's great. It's not the original. It's not the original Ghostbusters. But it's still a good movie nonetheless. You know, Paul Rudd is very, very entertaining in this movie. Paul Rudd just being himself. I'm with the audience. 94%. Okay. Yep, no, give it a 94%. And I'm glad that we are finally getting Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire was supposed to come out back in December of 2023, but then the SAG-AFTRA strike delayed it to March 22nd, which was supposed to be the release date for Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse, but then SAG-AFTRA strike delayed Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse. We still don't have a release date for that movie, but March 22nd, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire finally hit theaters. It's currently in theaters. I have not seen it yet because there's no movie theater out here. So far, critics are being a little harsh. 44%. Critics consensus. Frozen Empire offers a certain amount of nostalgia-fueled fun for fans of the original, but a crowded cast and surprisingly serious tone prevent this sequel from truly sparking. The audience gave it an 84%. The audience says that Ghostbusters Frozen Empire has plenty of nostalgia for longtime fans, as well as fun multi-generational action for younger audiences to enjoy. All right, so yeah, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, it's currently in theaters. You know, produced by Jason Reitman, Ivan Reitman's son. We brought in Kumail Nanjiani, Patton Oswalt, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace, Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon. They reprise their roles. We get the original cast. They come back. So let me know what you guys think about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. It was one of my picks for Fantasy Movie League 2023. It is not a pick of mine for 2024. I decided not to pick it this year. The only pick that I've had so far that came out, that's come out as of the release, as of the recording of this podcast, is Bob Marley One Love, which even that one's got kind of average reviews, got mixed reviews, mixed reactions from critics and audiences alike. Let me know what you guys think about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Do you side with the critics? Do you think that, you know, this is just another cash grab for Hollywood? Or do you think that it's that perfect bit of nostalgia? Do you think it's, you know, just as good as Ghostbusters Afterlife? Do you think that it can like hold a candle to Afterlife or to the original? Do you side with the audience, 84%? Or are you with the critics, 44%? Let me know in the comments below. The next movie, for my fantasy movie league, the next movie that is coming out this coming Friday is Monkey Man starring Dev Patel. Yes, Monkey Man starring Dev Patel. Hello, whoever said, hey, Mr. Cobbs, hello. Whoever just commented, hey, Mr. Cobbs, what's up? So going back to my fantasy movie league picks, and this will be the last thing we talk about before we wrap up for today. Monkey Man. We got Monkey Man coming out on April the 5th with Dev Patel, produced by Jordan Peele. It's like a John Wick style action film. Happy Easter. Happy Easter to you too. And then I got Fall Guy coming out May 3rd, If May 17th. Of course, Deadpool and Wolverine, July 26th. So we got some bangers coming out. I think it's going to be a fun spring. It's going to be a fun summer for the box office. And I can't wait to talk about it all with you guys right here on Cobb's Corner. Well, you know, that is about all the time that we have for this episode of Talk Time with Morgan Cobbs. If you like what you heard today, don't forget to subscribe and click that bell so that you get notified when we go live, when we have new episodes. And make sure to follow Cobb's Corner on all social media. That's Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. to stay updated on all things Cops Corner. All those links are in the show notes below. For those of you who made it to the very end of this episode, I greatly appreciate it. Tune in to Talk Time with Morgan Cobbs every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Chuuk Standard Time. Next day, available everywhere else the next day. Hope you guys enjoyed your stay here at Cobbs Corner. We are your one-stop shop for all things TV, film, and pop culture. Click the screen right now to watch my Groundhog Day review. It is a complete banger of an episode. It was our top episode for 2023. And as always, I will talk to all of you in the next episode. Peace.